around the world. The Spirit is moving and a voice is being heard. Welcome to the Voice of Evangelism with David Langford. You can write to the Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. We'll give you that address again at the close of today's broadcast. But here now is David Langford.
Hello, friends. Pastor David Langford here again today, and we'd like to welcome you to the Voice of Evangelism this fifth day of January, Tuesday, 2021. I'm certainly trusting 2021 will be far, far better than 2020, but the truth is, we are entering into days of peril. And your faith must be anchored in Jesus, the Lord Christ, and nothing else. Remember, heaven and earth is going to pass away, but he said, my word shall not pass away. So God is faithful. In spite of all of the things that we see, in spite of all the things that we hear, God is going to be faithful to his church. And I know many of you are going through some very, very difficult times. Adversity, strife, contention, just all sorts of things transpiring and taking place that is certainly not healthy in your life, certainly not edifying and strengthening your life, but Satan uses everything he can to tear and to pull us down as believers. But remember, Jesus is our Parakletos. He's the comforter, the one that gives aid, and he does this through the Holy Spirit. That's why he said, I will not leave you comfortless. Jesus comforted the disciples, gave them kind, gracious words, multiplied the fishes and the loaves. He did all of these things for them. Well, what he did while he was on the earth is now accomplished through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one who does these things in the earth now. So that's the purpose for sending the baptism and the Holy Ghost. He said, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I will send you another comforter. And that comforter is the Holy Spirit. And he does comfort the believer. Before we get back into our teaching here today in 2 Thessalonians 2, I want to play a song by a group called 11th Hour. And it's entitled, I'd Like to Meet the Preacher. I pray it blesses your heart and life today.
Morning, he said, some
Aren't you glad that Jesus reached out to you? You were lost. You were hopeless, but he reached out to redeem you. I hope yesterday we began to shed an enormous amount of light on biblical truths. We addressed the symbolisms, spirituality, literalization, and how they must be rightfully, correctly implemented and used to correctly understand the scriptures. And I want to reiterate this again today. Be careful who you read. Be careful who you listen to. You cannot allow human reasoning to bleed over into your interpretation of the scripture. That's how we get into heresy and fallacy. As I used the analogy of Mary, how shall this be, for I know not a man? Yet hundreds of years before the conception of the Messiah, Isaiah 7:14 says, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. Thou shalt call his name Emmanuel. Emmanuel being interpreted means God with us. Hundreds of years before the event actually took place. But see, Mary in her human reasoning, she says, I don't know a man. In other words, I've never had relations with a man. And you're telling me I'm going to conceive, and I'm smart enough, I'm wise enough to know there must be an interaction between me and a man to have a child. And I don't know a man. I know not a man. I've never had relations with a man. But see, human reasoning kicks in. How shall this be? I don't know a man. And Gabriel says, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. And so, this is the importance of an unction, or having the unction from the Holy Ghost to better understand the Scriptures. Luke 24:45, then opened he their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures. It's the Holy Spirit. You cannot human reason these things out. If you do, you're flawed. Your interpretation is skewed. It's not correct because you've humanly tried to figure this out. I had a young man, I suppose he's young, wanting to define the bow. Revelation 6 and 2, where the Antichrist has a bow. You've all heard it, symbolizing war, but he has no arrows. But when you exegete the word bow there, it's a piece of fabric. I'm telling you, you're being hindered, you're being flawed, and you're failing yourself to listen to men who never pray and fast and seek God. You only follow those who are seeking God. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. I'm not going to follow men who don't have a prayer life. They take the ministry as a vocation, a calling. They don't look at it as a calling. They take it as a vocation. I didn't choose this job. God chose me for the job. I wouldn't have it. I'm serious. I wouldn't have it. But that was not my choice. No one can understand that statement unless you've actually been called of God. Now, there are a lot of wannabe guys. They want to be called of God. They self-appoint themselves. But they don't understand the burden of that. They never can. You know why? They were never called. It's like me trying to understand a woman having a baby. I can never understand that. And if you're a man, you can never understand that. And if you've never been called of God, you don't understand the call. You don't understand it. You think you understand it. You think you have some conception, some idea. But no, you really don't, because I don't have a bit of an idea what a contraction feels like. I've never had a periodical cycle in my life. I don't know what that means. And yet we have people who just want to be. Now you want to be a transgender. Some of the most crazy, asinine stuff I've ever seen in my life. So we've got to stay with the scriptures and the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God. Now, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 6, "And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For many years, many years, and theologians and Bible students and Bible scholars have debated the question concerning who or what is the restrainer here in verse 6. Now, most people will tell you, here's where I find it comical. Maybe that's a poor choice of words. Here's where I find it comical. I heard Jimmy Swaggart say the he here is the church. You say, well, what's comical about that? But then I've heard him preach that the church is the bride of Christ. So how can a he be a she? You see what I'm talking about? And I'm not accusing him of sin. I'm not even accusing him of anything. I'm saying they are twisting scriptures to make it fit their human reasoning why it is this and this and this, when it's none of that. But see, Finnis J. Dake, some of you listening to me, you have a Dake's Bible. Dake was the greatest plagiarist ever walked in shoe leather. He plagiarized E.W. Bullinger word for word. So Dake was not any kind of an originalist. Okay? You need to understand that. I've seen Benny Hinn promote the Dake Bible. Greatest Bible in the world. You see, because I'm such a Bible student, I discovered, 12, 15 years ago, Dake copied Bullinger. I find it amazing reading Bullinger in his terminology, and that he's talking about souls. What's the word am I looking for? You have a sheet of how many souls is on the plane. Manifesto. But I was reading his writings one day, and he's talking about the manifesto. How many souls was on board the ship? How many souls was on board the train? But he never mentioned how many souls was on board the plane. Why? Planes had just come into existence. I think he died in 1917, something like that. But there was no such thing as jet airliners. So his reference was ships and trains. And I thought that's what it means for me to go back and reread from men that wrote stuff 150 years ago. But those of you listening to me today, you may have a Dake Bible, but did you know Dake plagiarized relentlessly E.W. Bullinger? So when men say certain things, they're just hashing out. Now, of course, Bullinger was not a pre-tribulationist, but Dake was. But when you read Jimmy Swaggart's notes, you'll read the notes in his Bible. Somebody sent me one of his Bibles. His notes he got from Dake and others, I'm sure. I was one time told there was a lawsuit over that. Don't know, insignificant. I probably shouldn't even be going there today, but nevertheless, you need to know who you're reading, what you're reading, and what kind of a life these men live or lived. Were they godly men? Now, through all of my years of research, everybody's made comments on who the he is. Again, they would say he is the church, the body of Christ. Then next week, they're preaching the church is the bride of Christ. Make up your mind which one it is, guys. You can't keep skewing the scriptures. But I've come to understand, and I'm going to give you Bible, why I have come to this understanding that the restrainer is Michael the archangel. It is evidenced to me that the church at Thessalonica knew who the restrainer was, because Paul said to them, "And now ye know what withholdeth." You know what is restraining. You know who he is. You know what he is. Now ye know what withholdeth. Now, we discussed this thoroughly in my DVD series, The Great Tribulation Versus the Wrath of God. And we show you the sequential events and the trigger points. I won't get into all of that today. That's another subject, the Great Tribulation. But once Michael is taken out of the way, now that's why there are those who say that he is the church and the church is raptured. It doesn't say anything is raptured. It doesn't say something is taken out of the world, which that's what Dake says in his footnotes, but the Bible says something is taken out of the way. If I'm sitting in the driveway and you pull up behind me in your car or your pickup truck and I'm wanting to leave, I don't ask you to rapture your church. I ask you to move your truck out of the way. I didn't ask you to rapture it. I just want you to back it up and get it out of the way so now I can get out. Neither one of us are being raptured. So something is being taken out of the way. Something is removed. Take your hand out of the way. Take your hand out of the way. Or stand over there. Get out of the way. You're hindering my vision. Not raptured. Not taken away. Taken out of the way. See? But that's how easily and subtly men insert their human reasoning. Something is taken away. It says out of the way. Get that book out of my way. Get that chair out of my way. I didn't ask you to take it away, rapture. I asked you to take it out of the way. Now, once the restrainer, which I am emphatic in my belief, is Michael the archangel, once he is removed, taken out of the way, that allows the revelation of the Antichrist and for the church to be able to see, to witness who the Antichrist is, because he will be revealed. Verse 6, "And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his own time." So it's a revelation. Something is taken out of the way. We'll get to that here in just a minute. Verse 7, "For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way." So you got the personal pronoun he used twice. Now let me say this. The world, the ungodly, the sinner, these people are not going to be able to receive revelation. Now, someone may be a backslidden Christian. If I backslid tomorrow, God is not going to wash my mind of all the knowledge I've gained through the years. I will still have that knowledge. But I will, if I backslide, I've severed my relationship with God. But I don't lose my knowledge of what I previously knew. But the world in general is not going to understand the revelation of the Antichrist. It will be no revealing to them. It will be just like Donald Trump. Yeah, people knew of him. Yeah, heard of him. But nobody ever thought he would be president. Oh, that just, you know, that's not going to happen. You know, Ann Coulter predicted that, and now she's disappeared. I don't know what she did to make everybody mad, but you never hear of Ann Coulter anymore. But she was the one that rightfully said Donald Trump will win the election. 2016, he did. But she faded away. I don't know why she did, but she did. The world cannot receive divine revelation. Revelation 2:7, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Revelation is for the church. Revelation is not for a blatant, randy, rancid sinner out there. They're just not going to get it. But a backslider could get it because they knew, hey, I knew this was what was taught and said. Now, once the revelation is made, that starts the time clock. That is the last 3.5 years of time as we presently know it. This will be the time of the end. I mean the end of the age as we know it. Jesus got the first 42 months of Daniel's 70th week. Antichrist will get the last 42 months of Daniel's 70th week. As I taught you last week or week before last, you have 24 hours in a day. 12 of them are a.m., 12 of them are p.m. Jesus got the a.m. portion of the Daniel's 70th week, and Antichrist gets the p.m. portion. So they both get 12 hours or 42 months, 1260 day time times and half a times. Now, to prove my conviction and that the restrainer that is holding back is he, Michael the archangel, is what Gabriel said to Daniel in Daniel chapter 10, verse 21. Now, I'm giving you Bible for all of this. I'm not making this stuff up. I'm not trying to tell you that the book of Revelation has already been fulfilled, and then we have all of these voids, all these vacuities, and we can't answer all of these questions. I'm not going to do you like that. See, to me, that's handling the Word of God deceitfully and dishonestly. I don't do that. But let me tell you what Gabriel says to Daniel in Daniel 10:21. Now, Daniel, we all know, fasting, praying, seeking God, demon of Persia, or the Bible says the prince of Persia, is fighting him to keep him from getting to Daniel to give Daniel the revelation, the answer, the understanding. But let me show you the profundity and the accuracy of God's word. How that God, David said in Psalms 119 verse 89, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. So the word of God has already been written, penned in scrolls, you might say, and it's there in the volumes of God. Lo, the speak volumes of me, Jesus talking about Moses, the volumes, the books, all of this is there. It exists. I'm going to show you that the reason I know it exists is because I have Bible to say that it exists. And that's Daniel 10:21. But I will show thee that which is noted. And the word noted there in the Hebrew means or recorded. Now this is Gabriel talking to Daniel. Daniel 10:21. But I will show thee that which is noted or recorded in the scripture of truth. And there is none that holdeth, or there is none that withholds with me in these things, but Michael your prince. What is Gabriel telling Michael? I mean, what is Gabriel telling Daniel? He's telling him Michael is the restrainer. He's the one that's withholding. He's holding back. Furthermore, the scriptures are already established and settled because Jesus was in the beginning. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Gabriel knew the scripture before it was ever written in 2 Thessalonians 2:7. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? Hundreds of years before the Apostle Paul penned 2 Thessalonians 2, Gabriel is telling Daniel about the scriptures that are yet in the future. Now, I know this is getting pretty lofty as far as understanding, but it's there. It exists. Let me quote it again, Daniel 10, verse 21. But I will show thee that which is noted or recorded in the scripture, and there is none that holdeth or withholdeth with me except Michael, your prince. Michael's the prince, the guardian of the nation of Israel. Now, the word hold here in the Hebrew is number 2385, Halzak, H-A-W, dash Z-A-K, Halzak. It means to bind, to restrain, to withstand, or to retain. Holding something back. Gabriel is telling Daniel, Michael, there is none that holdeth or withholdeth with me in these things, but Michael, your prince. This is what Gabriel is sharing with Daniel. Now, we have the corroborating evidence that Gabriel told Daniel it was Michael, the archangel, who was the one holding back or restraining the revelation of the Antichrist. Now watch the sequence and the synchronicity and the accuracy. Look at verse 7 now, 2 Thessalonians 2:7, for the mystery. The word mystery is mysterion, the mystique, the mystery of iniquity, or that that is evil and working, for the mystery of iniquity or the mystery of evil works doth already work. Only he, Michael, who now lets or allows, will allow until he, Michael, be taken out of the way. This is a formula. This is a protocol. And so hundreds of years before this verse of Scripture is penned in 2 Thessalonians 2, 6, and 7, Gabriel, in the book of Daniel, during the Babylonian captivity, is telling Daniel what is already noted in the Scripture of truth. Even though the scripture had not yet been written in the earth, it was already, the volumes were there in heaven. Let me quote it again, Daniel 10:21. But I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth, and there is none that holdeth or withholdeth with me in these things, but Michael, your prince. So it's believed, Paul wrote this book, Thessalonians, around 50 to 52 A.D. So there are literally hundreds of years that have passed. Time has passed. Yet Gabriel says what's already noted in the scripture of truth. All scripture is true. 2 Timothy 3:16, 17, Paul said all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. So Gabriel is quoting 2 Thessalonians 2:7 because the scripture is already settled in heaven. It's already recorded because the scripture is none other than Christ. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. So Gabriel is quoting scripture that's already noted. That word noted, as I said, means recorded. But I will show thee that which is noted. I will show thee that which is already recorded in the scripture of truth. And there is none that holdeth, or there's none that withholds with me, except Michael, your prince. I hope you're getting this. I'm not trying to be confrontational. I'm not trying to be argumentative. I'm not trying to lay out some bozo wannabe jackleg that's trying to brainwash you in through human reasoning. I'm giving you the Bible. That's all I have. The Bible is what I go by, not by what some pagan heathen sits down and tries to understand the Bible and connect the dots himself. And regrettably, sadly, and I feel sorry for those of you who have the, what's the right word here, the belief that Revelation is done and over with. See, once Michael is taken out of the way, what happens? The Antichrist is revealed. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he, Michael, will only going to allow or let so much happen until Michael is taken out of the way. Verse 8, then shall that wicked be revealed. And for all my life, people have tried to predict who the Antichrist is. You're never going to predict it. You're never going to be a prognosticator and get it right. You're not even going to prophesy it. Did you hear what I said? You're not going to prophesy it. Because it's going to be an event when it is revealed to the body of Christ, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're going to be in darkness. If you believe anything else. Now, Michael is taken out of the way. Where does he go? What is Michael doing once he's taken out of the way? He starts a war in the heavenlies. Revelation 12 and 7. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels. So once the restrainer, Michael, he is taken out of the way, now the Antichrist can be revealed and start his onslaught against the nation of Israel and trying to destroy it, not only Israel, but all those who keep the commandments and the testimony of Jesus Christ. That's Revelation 12. That's why we did that whole chapter. We have the whole Chapter 12, Revelation, on DVD, and I explain all of this. Now, let me show you the sequence. When the restrainer is taken out of the way, that is Michael. He goes up into the heavenlies, Revelation 12 and 7. There was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels. Now watch this, Daniel 12 and 1. I'm going to show you the synchronicity and the sequence of making the... See, if Revelation's already been fulfilled, then Daniel 12 and 1 is jacked up. If Revelation's done been fulfilled, the whole chapter of Revelation 12 is already jacked up according to that interpretation. Why will I say that? Because I'm going to show you in Daniel 12 and 1. And at that time, this is a kairos, a divine appointed time when certain events must take place. And we're coming to a time when Michael is going to be removed and the Antichrist is going to be revealed. Now we see that. At least I see that in Daniel chapter 12, verse 1. In chapter 10, Gabriel is telling Daniel, Michael is the restrainer. He's holding the Antichrist back. He's keeping things from happening. Daniel 12 and verse 1, and at that time, the time when Michael shall be taken out of the way, shall Michael stand up. Now, what does that mean in the Hebrew? The Hebrew says Michael will mount up or Michael will ascend up. What is he doing? He's going into the heavenlies to start a war with Satan. Daniel 12, verse 1. At that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, the same prince as in Daniel 10, 21. Let me quote that again. Daniel 10, 21. But I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth, and there's none that holdeth with me in these things but Michael, your prince. Michael, your prince. Now Daniel 12 and 1. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, the same prince, as in Daniel 10, 21, which standeth, the Hebrew says, or watches or stands over for the children of thy people Israel, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time, and at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. What is the book? The book is the book of life. You see, There's absolute divine order in all of this. My heart is troubled and my heart is saddened by all the garbage. I mean pure, unadulterated, puking, rotten, stinking garbage that is spewed out from behind pulpits and lecterns and videos and DVDs and books. Now, you email me, you write me, and you tell me who else is teaching and preaching this. Send it to me. I want to study it. I want to grow more in what God has already shown me. I want to glean more. We iron sharpeneth iron. So you think you know it all. No, I don't. I'm just sharing what I understand. And I remember, this has only been 3, 4, 5 years ago when Daniel 10, 21 became so powerful. When Gabriel says, but I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth, and there is none that holdeth with me in these things, but Michael, your prince. I'm like, wow. The word of God's already settled in heaven. Men have had dreams and visions, and they saw the scrolls, all the books, all the things that God has put in ledgers and books and volumes, and there they are. And so Gabriel alludes to a verse of Scripture hundreds of years before Paul ever writes it and says, I will show thee that which is noted, or I will show thee that which is recorded in the scriptures. This to me is so overwhelming evidence and convincing. How do you dare see it another way? Because as I said, well, the church is raptured out of here, and we're at the marriage supper of the Lamb for 7 years. And I say, well, wait a minute. Jesus said in heaven they don't marry, nor are they given in marriage. So what's the purpose of having a marriage supper in heaven when that don't happen in heaven? Remember, folks, this stuff has to make sense. Okay? You want to teach that the he here is the church, but next week you're going to preach the church is the bride of Christ. I mean, come on. You have to be honest. You got to quit handling the word of God deceitfully, because you're too proud. Look at Benny Hinn right now. Benny Hinn has gone publicly and said, I was wrong. I never want to hear that word again. $1,000 seed faith. But yet others keep preaching it and teaching it. Why? Because it's all about money. How about Kenneth Copeland getting hacked the other day? And he had $760 million in his checking account. I mean, come on, folks. Come on, folks. What's going on here? God didn't call me into ministry to make money. He called me into ministry to save souls, to tell people the truth and to show them the right way. That's what Samuel said to Israel. He said, My job is to show you the right way. My job is to teach you what is godly, to teach you what is forthright. Not to sit up here and shake you down for money and try to make a buck off of somebody's back because I call myself a preacher. Well, I'll tell you, man, that's why I don't ever talk about money. That's why we never ask for money. I'm never going to ask for money. I say it all the time. If I ask for money, turn me off and say, well, pastor's backslid. Pastor's backslid. He's asking for money. He said if he ever asked for money, write him off. Well, write him off because now I heard him ask for money. I'm not going to ask for money. 1 Samuel 12 and 23, moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you, but I will teach you the good and the right way. This is Samuel. He says, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord and ceasing to pray for you. Can I tell you, I prayed for you this morning? Because according to that scripture, it's a sin to not pray for God's people. Not only did Samuel say, I don't want to sin against God and ceasing to pray for you, but I'm going to teach you the good and the right way. There's a good and there's a right way. There's a bad and there's a wrong way. There's an evil way, a wrong way, an ungodly way. And that's what most preachers are teaching and preaching. Benny Hinn woke up, saw the light, saw the truth, and said this was always wrong. I'm not going to do it anymore. Thank God he saw the light. You got to appreciate a man's humility to admit I was wrong. I don't care who it is, what it is. You have to be respectful and mindful when any preacher says I was wrong. That's a type of repentance. We don't repent to human beings unless I have personally offended you. We repent to God. But if I've erred or done my neighbor wrong, I need to go and say I'm sorry and reconcile the matter. So Benny Hinn now publicly is saying, hey, I was wrong. It was wrong, and I apologize, and I'm sorry for it. But you can't forgive his sins. You can accept his apology and acknowledge he saw the light, and now he's going to teach the truth. I wish more preachers. See, I'm not a fool. I was third generation Church of God. There are men in the Church of God who know that what I'm teaching and preaching is the absolute truth. They know it. But for the sake of being scandalized, they won't talk to me, have me in their churches or their pulpits because they don't want to hurt themselves. They don't want to be politicized in a negative light. So leave him alone. He's right, but leave him alone because he'll cause you trouble. Your name will be ruined if you bring him into your church. You see, that's even wrong. I don't care what it is. When a man is preaching the truth, you should embrace the truth. Don't worry about the man. Don't worry about the man. Like I said, I get criticized for everything. My clothes, my hair, my beard, my speech. Criticized about it. I don't care. That's kind of humorous and funny to me. My job is to preach a pure, unadulterated, uncontaminated Bible, a pure word. Yet preachers won't admit I'm wrong. No, I can't do that. That's the worst kind of pride. That's the worst kind of pride. So once Michael quits holding back, withholding, restraining the Antichrist, he will be revealed. Now, when we teach Revelation chapter 12 on the DVDs, we show you all these trigger points. Now, right now, Satan has access to God's throne. He goes up there every day and he falsely accuses every one of you watching me. That low down Langford, he's a two-faced hypocrite lying. But see, Jesus is my advocate. Jesus says that's not true. He loves me. And so the Father sees me through his Son Jesus and sees you through Jesus and his shed blood. Because he's the accuser. And Satan is a false accuser. He's the false accusers of who? The brethren. And regrettably, the devil uses so-called Christian people to falsely accuse God's people. So once this war starts in heaven, as you've heard me say, victory is won right around the throne of God initially. That's where it starts. And so God kicks Satan, or actually it's Michael who defeats Satan and his armies. Revelation 12 and 7, there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the devil and his angels. Or the dragon. He's called the dragon. And so as Michael prevails, Satan cannot prevail. And it says, and their place, Satan and the fallen angels, their place was found no more in heaven. Now, you've heard me say this. Now Satan is cast down to the earth. And I just understood this just a few years ago. This is why the rage, the anger, and quote-unquote great tribulation is because Satan is mad, because now he can't get off the earth. God confines him. He harnesses him. He arrests him. He handcuffs him to planet Earth. He can't go anywhere now. Oh, and he's mad. And he's mad with Israel because Israel brought the Messiah into the world. So he goes after Israel. This is all in Revelation 12. But I want to back up to verse 12. Once Satan and his angels are defeated in the heavenlies, they're now pressed, pushed down, and confined to the earth as you and I know it. I don't know how far he can go up from one country to another. He don't have to go up high, far in the stratosphere. Maybe he goes up 5 miles high and shoots over to Jerusalem to invoke the war from the north and the south. When they come against the Antichrist. But my point is now, Satan is confined completely to the earth. He can't get away from it. He can't get back up to God. It's like there's been a veil, a partition put over him. Now he's stuck. He's stuck like Chuck. He can't get to God anymore, and he can't falsely accuse us anymore. So then, verse 12 of Revelation 12 says, woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, you and me, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. Listen to me. The great tribulation is the wrath of Satan. The great tribulation has nothing to do with the wrath of God. Anytime you hear any prophecy teacher, any jackleg say the great tribulation also includes the wrath of God, he's already telling you a mistruth. He's already misrepresenting the scriptures. And regrettably, thousands, tens of thousands, millions, hundreds of millions of Christians believe that mess. And it's just not true. And it is a mess. It is a mess. And pride holds these ministries and these false prophets and teachers captive because they can't admit they were wrong. So they have to come out and keep preaching the same old, same old, same old. You're not going to be here. But even that teaching is false. The great tribulation is not the wrath of God. The great tribulation is the wrath of Satan. Satan poured wrath out on Job. Job went through great tribulation. I mean, my God. Don't think when you lose everything, family, sons, daughters, oxen, cattle, sheep, everything you have, now you've lost your health. Hey, death is a blessing. Man, get me out of here if I got to go through all of that. Job went through great tribulation, folks. I don't care whether you believe that or not. He went through great distress. But he didn't quit, did he? He held on to Jesus, the Lord's Christ. There are those who say, well, the church is the restrainer. If the church is that powerful and such a great restrainer, why didn't the church keep prayer in school, and why didn't the church stop abortion? It takes an archangel to hold this back. I said it takes an archangel. And even in Jude, the Bible said, Michael doth not make a railing accusation against Satan, the devil, but said, Satan, the Lord rebuke thee. Michael even used the Lord's name to rebuke the devil. I'm telling you, men have jacked up the Word of God, the Bible. They've said stuff. They've taught stuff. They don't even have a Bible for it. What I've shared with you today, and I'm going to close today. My time is all but gone. But I've showed you in Daniel, the restrainer, the one who's withholding. Gabriel told us who it was. But I will show thee, Daniel 10:21, but I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth, and there is none that holdeth with me in these things but Michael, your prince. And I tied that right there to Daniel 12:1. Michael, your prince. When he stands up and he stops restraining, he stops holding back the lawlessness, the mystery of iniquity, he lets it come on the scene. And then that's when you have the abomination of desolation, you have the revelation of the Antichrist, you have Satan kicked out of heaven, and that starts great tribulation. This is the sequence of events. And so I have those who say, well, the book of Revelation has done been fulfilled. I really feel sorry. I feel sorry for these people who've been that gullible to fall into the trap. And I want to tell you, I want to say this again. You better be careful who you're listening to anymore. I feel like rattling off 20 names right now. I feel like rattling off 20 names, and you'd know every one of them. You would know every last one of them. But I would tell you, if it wasn't just for courtesy and being ethical and not trying to defame or hurt, I'd call all these names because I'm tired of the lying. I'm tired of the lying. They're lying to you. They want to write all these books. They want to do all these DVDs. But at the end, they say, we're not here. You're a huckster, sir. You're a hooligan, sir. You're just ripping the body of Christ off for money to make money. That's why you do it for the money. You don't make altar calls. I saw a person, if I called their name today, every one of you would know them. They were asked to pray on television some time ago. The man couldn't even pray. He was asked to pray for sinners. He stumbled. He mumbled. It's like, I don't know what to do. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. And you have this vast followers and tens of thousands subscribers to your YouTube channel and this and that. I better be careful. I might say the wrong thing now. And I sit there and I say, you can't even pray. You don't even know how to pray for sinners. You're not in it for the souls. You're in it for the money. And they all flock together. They're all in their little, birds of a feather flock together. You don't see me in the circles anymore, do you? You don't see me there anymore, do you? There's a reason for that. Somebody responded to a prayer I prayed some weeks ago. I asked God for a pure door. That struck a chord with that person, where I'm praying for a pure door. Because I'm telling you, I am not going to run around with a bunch of sinners who stand up there and act like they're Christians, and they're no more Christian than Joe Biden, Nancy Pelosi. They've taken God's name in vain. They honor God with their mouth. They honor God with their lips, but their hearts are far from Him. And if you heard how some of these people talked off camera, off microphones, you'd be shocked. You'd be shocked. I don't curse. I don't swear. I don't live like that. I'm a Christian. I'm accountable to God Almighty, and I fear Him. I have a wholesome, godly, reverential fear of the Lord Jesus Christ because I love Him. I love Him with all of my heart. I hope you're getting something out of all of this. It won't be long we'll be through with this series, and then the heavy-duty series will come. These series are long, in a sense. I hate that because people say, well, I'll miss three or four and pick back up. You'll miss so much great information. Maybe that's braggadocious. Maybe that's prideful, and forgive me, great information. But I'm trying to give you great biblical knowledge. But I know these long series, people fall out. This was the 26th, 27th. This was the 26th program of this series. That's not a drop in the bucket when we start teaching on preparing for the darkness. But I'm telling you, I'm going to give you nothing but Bible when I teach the coming darkness. God bless you.
The Voice of Evangelism with David Langford is brought to you by the faithful listeners and supporters throughout America. If you're looking for an uncompromising message, we invite you to tune in each week to The Voice of Evangelism. For more information, write to The Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. That's P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020.